Okay, everybody, today's daf is Yuma daf Samechas, so good in Erev Shabbos, and we have a tremendous chus of finishing the sixth parak of Masechas Yuma. If you're getting tired of the Avodas Yom Kippurim, so it's almost over, right? The halachos of actual Yom Kippur as we know it, Meir Yibana Beis HaMikdash, but the actual Yom Kippur halachos are in, we're going to encounter next week. We have one more parak of Avodas Yom Kippurim. But with that being said, let's finish the sixth parak and start a little bit of the seventh. So the Mishnah says in Samach Zayim of Beis, Ba'lo Itzal Par V'Soyer HaNisrofim. Right at this point, right at the Kohen Gadol comes to the goat and the bull that has already that are going to be burned. Meaning these are the ones that we've been talking about. Right again after the Sir Lazozal has been kicked out. So that's again talking about you know these avodas these cows that are these cows these animals that are already. Offer the blood, but you cut them open, and then v'osiyas, you take out the insides, right? Nasan b'megis, and you put them together in a pot or in a klisharis or whatever. And you put them on the mizbeach. Klan b'meklos, what he would do? He would make a braid out of what's left, right? The limbs. He would almost braid them, tie them together, right? The rest of the limbs of the goat and the par, and they would sit on the base of strength, and they would go out outside the base of Mikdash to go get burned. The Emasai mitavim begadim, and the pasuk says here, just like the guy who takes the sir lazazel, the guy who takes the goat and the par, the sir and the par out to be burned is mitame begadim, right? He becomes tame. So when does that happen? Right, Mishiyatsu chutz lachomus ha'azara. Right, Tanakama says after he leaves the azara, the base. I mean, Dash Rabbi Shimon Omer Mishiyatsis ha'or beruban. Right, from when the fire takes hold of most of the limbs. Okay, now so we started. Right, the Mishnah had said. Right, the Kohen Gadol goes to the par in the seir, and then Nasan b'megis, he puts it in a klisharis ve'ktiron, and he offers it right on the mizbeach. The problem is that that's really not true at all. Right, again, if as we pointed out many times, that the mesecta is very linear. Right, it's going in order of the avoda. This is the murim of the par and the seir were not burned now. Right, there was still a lot to do for the Kohen Gadol to do before he would actually end up burning these things. Right, he had to, as we're going to see today, he had some Kriya Satora, right, there would be a change of clothing, right, he would go to get a couple of the Ayal, right, for the people, right, and then he would another trip to the Mikvah, back into the Lavan, right, he had a lot of back and forth to do. Before actually burning these Emurim. So that's the Gemara asks. Tiran Sakadaitach, really, you think that at this point, right, this point of the Avoda, that's when he burned the fats? The Gemara says, no, Ema Lahak Tiran Agave Mizbeach. Meaning, what he's doing, when he puts them in the Klisharis and he intertwines them, right, that's to burn them. That would be to what's it called? That he's intertwining the limbs, not the stuff that gets burned on the mizbeach. Either way, when he puts them in a klisharis lag tiron in order to burn it later on the mizbeach, but not it does not actually get burned at this point. Okay, klam b'meklos, he would again intertwine, kind of braid the limbs of the par and the seir together to go get burned outside of the mizbeach. Make the shomer Rabbi Yochanan kamin kliya, just like a braid. Right, we had that in Masechta Shabbos, right? I'm talking about braiding. Tana with the brisa lo haya menatchon nituach basar ola. He wouldn't flay this korban just like the normal way of flaying a korban ola. Normally, you would flay, take off the skin of the korban ola, and then cut it apart because the skin went to the kohanim. But he wouldn't do that here. Ela oral gabi basar. Rather, it would be cut. He would cut it up with the skin still on it. So the Gemara says menanimili. How do you know that's how he should do it? The Tana like within the brisa Rabbi Omer nemar kan or ubasar uperish v'nemar lahalan. Or ubasar the perish. It says over here that you have skin, basar, meat, and perish is the waste, is the leftover stuff. And v'nemar, and it says later on, Rashi fills you in by the par kohen mashiach, right, by a korban that the kohen would bring if he made a mistake. So then he would, that also has the same phrase, or basar perish. So the Gemara says, "Ma lahavan al yedei nituach v'lo al yedei hefshed." Just like over there, by the part of the Kohen Gadol it's burned right, with the skin on. Right, lo al yedei hefshed. Hefshed is skinning it, is flaying it alive, or not alive. Chas v'shalom, right? That was Rabbi Kiva was skinned alive. But right, you kill obviously you shecht it, then you take the skin off. Right, so just like over there by the par's bull, you would cut it up. Right, nituach nowadays means a surgery, God forbid. But now he would cut it up with the skin on. So afkan alidei nituach alidei hefshet. Right, so too over here, right, he would keep the skin on when cutting these korbanos, the par and the seer, into pieces. So Hasaminalan, how do you know that the Kohen Gadol's part over there, if he makes a mistake, right, he brings the korban, so how do you know that that has to be, again, we just said it was true, but how do you know that there you don't take the skin off? See, Pasuk says, that it was not, it's not a straight Pasuk, but it says those three things by the part of the Kohen Gadol. And it says the malamisha motzio shalim, that you take it out, right? That they take it out of the right to go be burned, right? To while it's shalim, while it's whole, right? You don't cut it apart. Yachol yisrafenu shalim. You might have thought that you actually do burn it whole, meaning that. So therefore, nema kan v'rosho v'karav v'nemar lahalan v'rosho v'karav v'kirayim. So so too, right? You have exir shava from here from to a normal korban ola malahalan, just by a normal korban ola ali dinituach. You have to take up, you have to cut apart the par and then burn it. So afkan, so too here by the par of the kohen gadol, but ali day nituach. As Gemara says, well, if that's true, so that malahalan ali day hefshet afkan ali day hefshet. Well, maybe you should apply the connection between the ola and the par of the kohen gadol straight across the board, and just like the ola should be skinned before cutting it apart, so too the part of the kohen gadol. So therefore, the pasuk says, "Tamal Amar." Therefore, the pasuk says, "V'kirbo ufirsho," right? That it has to be with the inside, with the skin. Mal Talmuda, where do you see that from? Pirsho doesn't mean skin; it means waste, right? It means the leftovers. So Amar Papa, "Kshem shapir pirsho v'kirbo kach besaro be'oro." Just like the perish, just like the waste is inside, meaning the leftover stuff. Is obviously you're not going to cut open all the insides of the intestines and take out the waste, right? That's still inside. So too, right? The skin, the meat is inside of the skin. Okay, it says the Mishnah Me'emes Amitam Begadim. When would this guy who's taking out the pot in the seir to be burned? That's the Bishamidash. When would he be Metame? So right again, Tanakama said after he leaves the Azara, and Rabbi Shimon said after it starts burning. So turn upon with another Brayso. Right, you go outside of the machane and you burn it. Lahalan atanosi lam shlosh machanos. Lahalan doesn't mean later, but it means in other places. By the par of the kohen gadol, and let's say a par halam davar shel tzibor. So by those korbanos, right, they go outside three machanos, outside three camps, right? In the Mishkan, right, you have three camps, right? The Machane Shechina, right? The actual Mishkan, the Machane Leviah, right around it, and then the Machane Yisrael, which was around that. So we have parallels in Yerushalayim. You have the Machane Shechina, which is the Heichal, and you have the Machane Leviah, which is the Azara, the other parts of the Beis HaMikdash, and then you have Yerushalayim, is the Machane Yisrael. So just like by those two korbanos, you have to take it outside of Yerushalayim, all the way outside three camps, so too, by over here, right, that you by Yom Kippur, right, that the par and the seer of on Yom Kippur have to be taken outside Yerushalayim to be burnt. Here, right, again, you might have thought that they only give them, that they only has to be taken outside one camp, right, outside of the actual Kodesh, that's the Beis HaMikdash. Right, so the in Cain, right? Sorry, the Machane Leviah is the Harabayis, not the Beis Hamikdash. Right, Machane Shechina is the Beis Hamikdash. Machane Leviah is the Harabayis, and then the Yerushalayim is Machane Yisrael. Okay, either way. So therefore, you might have thought you only have to take it outside the Beis Hamikdash, outside one camp. So in Cain, Lamanem Rabbi Chutz LaMachane. So therefore, why does it say again outside the camp? So Bal Malacha to teach you, Kevin Shiatzah Chutz LaMachane Achas Metame Begadim. Right, so meaning the halacha says that it goes outside of one camp. Right, so, i.e., that's not the halacha. We know he goes outside the Yerushalayim. So why does the pasuk say you take it outside one camp? So teach me that as soon as the guy taking these korbanos outside one camp, he gets outside one camp, outside the Beis HaMikdash, so then already he becomes Tameh. But also, Minale, how do you know that by the part of the Kohen Gadol and the part of Helam Davar Shel Tzibor has to be burned outside of Yerushalayim, outside all three machanos? The Tanya, like Melinda Raisa. Tzitzias Kol HaPar, you take out the entire par, that's by the part of the Kohen Gadol. Again, if he makes a mistake, he has to bring a korban. Right, so that's chutz l'sholosh machanos. That has to be outside all three camps. So Gemara says, "Ata omer chutz l'sholosh machanos, or you know, elo chutz machan achas." How do you know? How do you know that it's outside of three camps? Maybe it's only outside one, meaning only outside the Beis HaMikdash and not outside Yerushalayim. So kshu omer b'para ido, but says by the para ido, right? Gan paralam helam dover, right? El michutz l'machane, right? Shein tamal omer. You don't need to teach me that. Right, that they get burned outside of the machana because sharik for nemar v'seraf also as asher seraf is a par rishon. You burn it just like you burn the first par, i.e., the kohen gadol's par. Meaning, so you know, right? Pasuk already told us that it has to be burned outside Yerushalayim. So therefore, matam alomar el nechutz l'machana. So why does it say again that you have to burn it outside of the machana? So therefore, litain lo machana shniyah, to tell you that you have to burn these these korbanos outside at least two camps. And what about the third? So Kshu Omer Mechutz Lamachan about Deshen, it says in another pasuk, right, by the taking out the Deshen, right? You had the mitzvah of the Trumas of Deshen, and then you had the taking out of the Deshen when it begot, so the Mizbeach got so dirty. That was a different avodah. It wasn't avodah done every day, but they had to clear out the Deshen when it got too dirty. And that would also, it says by there also, it says Mechutz Lamachan. So in Talmud Lomer, you don't need to teach me that you have to take the Deshen, all of the ashes all the way outside Yerushalayim, because the pasuk says Shekar Nemar El Shefa Chadeshen, right? You have to pour it right in the place outside. You have to pour it outside in the Deshen, outside of the Machane, where you pour the ashes. So therefore, you don't need that pasuk to teach me that. So therefore, Tema Machane Shlishi. So we apply it over here to teach me that these korbanos, right, all the things, the pouring of the Deshen and these other korbanos, they all get burned. Right, that happens outside Yerushalayim, outside all three camps, right? Again, that's just not so common, but it's one of the ways the Gemara uses to direction out things, right? But if you don't need a pasuk to teach me something by here, by the pasuk it's stated, but by the context it's stated, because you already know it, because the pasuk says it already, so therefore that pasuk is free to teach about other halachos. That's what we have over here. Right? Just even that we know about these halachos, that they have to be outside the machane, so therefore you have these extra psukim to teach me it's outside one machane, another pasuk outside another machane, and then finally a third pasuk, it has to be outside all three machanas. Okay, for Rabbi Shimon, how do you put the machane on my avile? Now Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold like this. Rabbi Shimon said it, he gets tameh when the fire starts burning the limbs. So what does he do with all these drushes? So I'm mechutz l'machane my avidei. So mibayle le get the tanya. He uses it for the following halacha. Rabbi Elazar Omer, v'nemar kan mechutz l'machane, v'nemar lahalan mechutz l'machane. Exer shava by here, by the Yom Kippur par and the seir, and also by the par aduma. It says mechutz l'machane, right? And the par aduma was completely outside Yerushalayim, outside the Beis Hamikdash. So he learns makan chutz l'shalosh machanos, af lahalan chutz l'shalosh machanos. Right? Everything par aduma is done in Har Zeisim. So just like that's outside Yerushalayim, outside the Har Bais, etc., outside all three camps. So too, Ma'ala Halim, so too, it's done outside all three camps. Ma'ala Halim ben Mizrachas Yerushalayim, and just like the Parah Aduma was done on the eastern right outside of the Beis Hamikdash. Right, again, if you look past the Beis Hamikdash nowadays, right, what's the first thing you see? Past the Beis Hamikdash, if you're at the Kotel, or let's say in the Old City, and you're looking at the Beis Hamikdash, or the Kotel, whatever, what's the mountain right behind it? Right, that's Har Zeisim, right? So it, just like the Parah Aduma is done on the east of Yerushalayim, again, that's east, right? The western wall is on the west, right? That was the back of the Beis Hamikdash. So just like the Parah Aduma is done in the east, so Afkam and Mizrach HaShel Yerushalayim, so too, right, you would burn the Par and the Seir of Yom Kippur, right on the east of Yerushalayim. Aye, Rabbanan Hecha Sarfu. Okay, so now that Rabbi Shimon uses those psukim to teach me, right, Exer Shava to Parah Aduma, so the Rabbanan don't do that because they need to teach me that it has to be burned outside three machanos. So where do you burn, right, the seer and the par according to the Chachamim? So Kedetanya, they use the following brisa. Again, Hecha Nisrafim. Where do you burn it? Now that's Fona Shel Yerushalayim. You burn it in the north. Now that's again because these are Korban Chatas. Right, if you look at Rashi, you should call Maisa Chatas Batzafon. Right, the Korban Chatas in general was shechted, and he did the Kabbalah Saddam and the Halicha. That was all in the northern part of the Beis Hamikdash. So just like these are also Korban Chatas, so it was done in the northern part, right? No, outside of the north of Yerushalayim, which would be nowadays, I guess, Silwan. Well, not really Silwan, right? But I guess the Old City, right? The Arab quarter of Yerushalayim. I guess past that, right, obviously. Right, outside Yerushalayim. Luchus l'sholosh machanos, right outside the city. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, Abeis HaDesh and Nisrafim. No, they were actually burned at the same place where you would put the ashes, right, when you cleaned out the Mizbeach, right, once in a while. It's the same place, right? A Shefach HaDesh, they would burn it there. So Amar Rav Mantan and Tepelag Galei the Rabbi Yossi. Who is the one who argues with Rabbi Yossi? Right, the Rabbi Yossi we just quoted that says you burn it at the Beis Hadeshen. So who argues with him? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. It's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The Tanya has learned in the Brisa El Shevach Hadeshen Yisareif. That's not the straight pasuk. Right, there's words in between that. I think. Yeah, but it's called a part of the Chutz L'Machana El Makom Tahor El Shevach Hadeshen V'Saraf Oso Al Etim Boish El Shevach Hadeshen. So I guess you do have the kind of, it says it twice, El Shevach HaDeshen. Okay, so I guess it is, that's a quote maybe from the last part of the pasuk. Either way, sorry. What do you learn from that pasuk, says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? So, Shehei L'Shem Deshen, that the ashes should be put there, right? The place should be marked off for Deshen. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov over makom ha-meshuvach. He says, no, it doesn't have to do with Deshen at all. It means that the place had to be slanted. Meshuvach, right, that you can, the shpoch is to pour out, right? It has to be able to be poured, meaning that there has to be a slanted area that you could, literally, because the shefach ha-deshen, the word literally means that you should be able to pour it. It's also on the ground, right? It should be running. It should be able to run down the mountainside. So he doesn't hold that. That's against that. Meaning, Rabbi, he doesn't hold that there needs to be burned where the par and the seer don't need to be burned where the ashes were deposited. Okay, Amar Le Abaye. Abaye says, no, I don't think those machlokesim line up. Maybe they're simply arguing, right? Again, this last price that we quoted, whether the area where you put the deshen needs to be slanted. But maybe both of them agree that you would, maybe they agree with Rabbi Yossi that you would burn the par and the seir, right, where the deshen was burned. Okay, was carried out. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, just to finish the parak. And then we'll just do the Mishnah, and then we'll get ready for Shabbos. It says in the Brayz of Asoreif, right, the guy who burns these animals, right, the par and the seer, he becomes tame. Asoreif mitame begadim, right, he himself, right, becomes tame and his clothing as well. V'lo hamatzis or v'lo masader samaracha, right, not the guy, however, who lights the fire or prepares the wood, right, to burn it. So Gemara says, okay, well, if that's true, then ezu asoreif. So who is the guy who's doing the burning? So the Gemara says, I'm going to say, yeah, b'shasreifa. That's the guy who's helping, right, when it's burning. I mean, the guy who actually puts it in the fire, right, again, maybe the guy who kind of makes sure the meat is all consumed. Okay, so the guy who's actually involved in actually burning it, right? There's the, as you see in Harnof, when you prepare for Lag BaOmer, so they're the kids who prepare the wood, and then hopefully the adults who actually light the fire and actually burn it. So that's, right, okay, it's the guy who's actually burning it. Fine. Yachol Af. Where am I? Yeah, okay, yeah, that's right. Yachol af misha nasu efer. You might have thought that he becomes tame even if someone deals with the part in the seer after it's become ashes. Metame begadim, that person also will become tame. So therefore the pasuk says, Osam metame begadim, velo misha nasu efer metame begadim. Only the guy who's dealing with the actual animal, right, becomes tame, and not the guy who's dealing if it's already become ash. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Hapar Metame, Nita Chabasar Enu Metame Begadim. Rabbi Shimon learns from a different source. Right, again, it's the par, it's the goat, the goat and the bull. Right, it should be both of them. Right, that causes people to become tame, but not after the meat has dissolved, has melted. Right, so that's no longer the par. That's no longer the seer. That's just ash. Right, so that's not going to make anybody tame. Now, in Echanami, that seems to be the same thing. Right, they're using different logic. Right, but right, one of them learns from Osam, and he says, "I them, right, and not their ash." And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, "Well, the par, the goat, I mean, the bull and the goat, and not after the meat has melted." Well, or that seems seemingly the same thing. So the Gemara asks, "My Benayu, what's the difference?" The Gemara says, "He Benayu the Shavicha Rucha, Shavicha Rucha." We had that word before, but the Korban Pesach, it was roasted. It become charred, again, if it's charred but not completely disintegrated into ash, so then, right, that's still considered to be osam. That's still considered to be, according to the Tanakhama, that's still considered to be the part of the seer. But according to the second one, right, if the, again, it's been charred, the meat has already been, the second one, according to Rabbi Shimon, right, then the meat is already going to be, what's it called? Then the meat is already going to be, not considered to be part of the seer and the goat. Okay, last mission in the parak, and then I think I jumped the gun before, but last mission in the parak, Amru lo lekohen gadol hegiu seer lamidbar. Now that I said to the kohen gadol that the goat has arrived in the midbar. Again, he was waiting there until the goat got to before doing anything else, before continuing on with the avodah. He had to wait for the seer to go to the midbar to arrive. So now this is the midbar, as we're going to know that this is not the all the way, as we'll see in a second. This is just a little bit outside Yerushalayim, and at that point the Kohen Gadol could go about the rest of the avoda. But they said to the Kohen Gadol that the goat has gotten to the midbar. How do you know? How would he know? That the goat has gotten to the midbar. So dear cows, they would set up stops. They would set up people over there. They would wave flags, sudar, a handkerchief, but they would wave flags. Right, just like Right, like they had on, let's say, Rosh Chodesh, similar that they had on Rosh Chodesh, they would light the fires, right, so that everybody would know that the Mekudesh Mekudesh, that the month was celebrated. So over here, they had like a flag-waving system, right, from what we said, there were sukkahs, right, there. So at each stop, a guy would wave a flag, they would know that the goat got there, and he got back to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kohen Gadol knew what the deal was. And then he could continue. Rabbi Yehuda, Valusim and Gadol HaYalem, Yerushalayim, Ve'ad, but Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you could even have a better sign. Right? From Yerushalayim until this place where they had to go, right, was 3 mil. Now, this is not against Rabbi Yehuda said before. It was 10 mil, right? Rabbi Meir said it was 12 mil. So you see that this is much earlier than the actual place where the goat was chucked off the cliff, right? You just had to get to the Midbar, right? You had to get to the Midbar before the Kohen Gadol could continue. Didn't need to wait until he was dead already. But okay, so they knew it was 3 mil from Yerushalayim to the, let's say, the Midbar. So Hochin mil, V'chozer mil. So people would accompany it for a meal. They would come back, right, and then V'shalin kidei mil. But they would wait the time it took to walk a third mil, and then V'yodin shegius the Midbar, and then they would know that okay, that the time comes that the seer came to the Midbar. Why didn't they just, if they knew how long it took to walk a meal, so why didn't they just wait the entire time? So first of all, there was a mitzvah to walk out the goat, and second of all, they really needed to, even though normally you would take, let's say, I don't know, 10 minutes to walk a meal, probably less, but let's say 10 minutes to walk a meal, but when they're fasting, so that's already a different issue. So these people were also fasting, so tachlis is, right, they could walk there, they could walk back, and by the time they understood, right, they would... those people were kind of like mimicking the walking of the guy with the goat, right? Because they were fasting, he was fasting, right? And they could figure out how much time there was. Okay, fine. Rabbi Shmuel says, I got even a better sign. And if a low siman acher ha'ilayim, right? Even a better sign. Lashon shel zohoris ha'yikasher al pisco shel heichal, right? We mentioned yesterday. They had a piece of red wool that was tied to the entrance to the heichal. V'kshegi asir lamidbar, when the seer would get 3 mil away, when it would get to that point, ha'yal lashon malavin, right? It would turn white. Right, the pasuk recorded yesterday, right, that it would turn white, that the sins will turn from red to white. Right, you could know, but at that point, right, that it got to the right place. Okay, Amar Abayi says, we know basically do the b'mimber kaima. Right, apparently we know that this is the beginning of the desert. Right, kamash malan, and apparently this teaches us the kasav Rabbi Yehuda came and shegi asir lamidbar nasas mitzvah. So apparently, what do you see that the mitzvah of the seer was to get to the midbar, not necessarily right, to kick it off, right, to kick it off the cliff, right? Even though Rabbi Yehuda said earlier, right, that it was 10 mil, but the point where you actually fulfill the mitzvah was 3 mil. It was the beginning of the midbar, not actually kicking it off the cliff. Right, again, as we said before, we also mentioned that we alluded to this yesterday because sometimes they said that the string would turn white, and the guy hadn't yet kicked the goat off the cliff. Right, again, so that's implying that the mitzvah was to get it into the midbar, but obviously is definitely a kiyum of the halacha to kick it off the cliff. But that wasn't the crucial aspect. The Kohen Gadol will continue with the avoda, but after you got it to the midbar. Okay, hadron alach shnei sirei, and let's start the Mishnah here. At least, and then we'll go weiter on Matzah Shabbos. Bolo the Kohen Gadol likros. Then the Kohen Gadol, after again that he was told that the Seer Azazel got to the midbar, so then he went to read the Torah. He wanted to go read from the Sefer Torah, and Ratzel likros b'bigdei chutz kore. He could read in b'bigdei butz. He could read in the regular b'bigdei lavan, the regular linen. Begadim vim lav, and if he didn't want to, so korin b'etzdalis lavan mishalal. Right, he could read in his own white. Clothing in his own white robe, if you wanted. Chazan Knesses, Notal Sefer Torah, Venos Nalavash Knesses. The Chazan would take a Sefer Torah and give it to the guy in charge. Well, now, where in the world do you get a Sefer Torah from? So, if you look at Rashi, right, there was a basic, we'll see in a second, but there was a shul on premises, right, a shul in the Beis HaMikdash. Right, again, the Achronim talk about why in the world you need a shul, you're in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, a lot of possible answers. Either way, they took it from a shul in the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi elsewhere says that he took the Sefer Torah from the Aron. I think of Rashi and Bava Basra, I think. Pashas is that this is talking about the second Beis HaMikdash, right? We've been talking the entire time about the Avodah of the second Beis HaMikdash. They had no Aron, so they didn't have the Sefer Torah in the Aron. Okay, either way, so the Chazan would take the Sefer Torah, but also the Rosh HaKnesses, he would give it to the guy in charge of the Knesses, Rosh HaKnesses, Nosan Litzgan, Faskan, Nosan Likon Gadol. Right, they would pass it along, right, as Rashi explains, to give kavod to the Torah, to show that the one who's reading the Torah is the holiest, is the highest of the high. Right, you're no good, and you're no good, and you're no good, oh, let's give it to the Kohen Gadol. Right? Not to belittle everybody else, but to give kavod to the Torah that it was being read by the Kohen Gadol today. The Kohen Gadol only the Mekabel, right, he would accept the Torah, Vekore Achremos, right, he would read the Parsha of Achremos. Amazing, I love when the Mishnah does this, right, stuff that we do nowadays, right, we read, that's what we read Parsha of Achremos in Shul. So too, the Kohen Gadol, right, the Mishnah says, in the second Beis Hamikdash, 2,500 years ago, that's what they were doing. Right? This is what they would do. So he would read the Parsha of Achremos, Ve'ach Be'asor, and he would read that Ve'asor, we'll see in a second, that Be'asor L'Chodesh HaShviyazeh, that's also in Parsha's Emor. Again, we'll see that that's important because the Maftir that we read nowadays in Parshas Pinchas, he did something else with that. Before he would read the Maftir, so then Vegol Sefer Torah Menicho Bechiko, he would roll the Sefer Torah, put it and hold it. The Omer, and he would say Yosher Mimasha Karati Lefnechem Kasuv Kan. There's more than what I read is written here, and then. Then he would read the Maftir in Parshas Pinchas, right? The Vasor the Chodesh Hashvi, that he would read by heart. As the Gemara is going to point out, because that was already to wind the Sefer Torah to get it, even you know to go from Emor to what's it called to Pinchas, that already takes some time, right? Where Choshesh, right, is already towards the end of the day already. Okay, you read that by heart, but again, you don't want to give the impression that that wasn't written in the Torah. So he announced that was written, but he would say it by heart. Mevarach Eshmar Brachos. He would make 8 brachos. Right? Pashas is all of them with Shema Malchus, right? But they would make 8 brachos. Ala Torah, Vela Voda, Vela Oda. Right, he would say every the Garashi, right? Ala Torah, Bracha, Asher Nasalana, Torah, Zemes. The bracha would make after the Kriyas Torah. That's a discussion. Okay, fine, but that's what Rashi says. Ala Avoda, he would say Ritzei. Ala Hoda is Modim. Al Mechilas Avon, right? That's a Machol Vanosinu Biyom Kippurim Hazeh. We say that in Shmon Esrei. Ve'al HaMikdash, that he would say, he would daven. Rashi says thank Hashem for the Beis HaMikdash b'fnei Atzmo. Al Mikdash b'fnei Atzmo v'al Yisrael b'fnei Atzmo. He would daven, right? Say bracha for the Beis HaMikdash. Say bracha for Am Yisrael. Ve'al Shara Tzvila, and he would say the rest of the Tzvila. Oh no, I skipped a line. Sorry. Val Yishalayim b'fnei Asman, make a bracha on Yishalayim. Val Kohanim b'fnei Asman, a bracha on Kohanim. Val Shara Tefillah, then he would finish up the rest of the Tefillah. Rather, Gemara will explain exactly what that means. Haroah Kohen Gadol k'shu kore, ino roah par v'sir nisrafim, v'haroah par v'sir nisrafim, ino roah Kohen Gadol k'shu kore. Right? Anybody who's watching the Kohen Gadol read, he was not going to be able to see them burn the par and the seir outside of Yishalayim, and vice versa. Not because it was usur, but simply because it was impossible. It was happening at the same time. Right, and they weren't near each other. So Taflis, you wouldn't have been able to see that. And the Mishnah says, not because you're not allowed to, Elashai Sadar Khoka, because it was far away, and it happened at the same time. Okay, Motzei Shabbos, we'll go weiter in the Hilig Shas, start the Gemara. Have a great Shabbos, and we'll go weiter in the Hilig Shas tomorrow.